This is Bob Fitragius, bringing you the other side of the news, streaming live on Free Press Network and WGRN.org. We're also on the radio at WGRN LP FM 94.1 and WCRS LP FM 92.7 and 98.3.
Death and hatred to mankind. Wash my hands. Oh, Lord, yeah.
I'm here in the studio with the other guy, Danny Dugan Jordan.
Yes, today I'm wearing a tight tie, and I'm going to ask really important questions for my hero, Jim Jordan.
And he's going to talk loud.
Right.
Because he'll be no air.
I'll be aggressive.
It's cutting off his, like Air Jordans. No Air Jordan.
Ah, his tie that's good. I like that.
Is too tight. He's not getting any blood flow to his brain.
Maybe he's constipated.
And for some reason, he always wears a jock strap that's too tight as well.
That I believe.
Causing him to scream and talk real
high. I've been there. It's no fun. When the jock strap is too tight, that's a problem.
And Mr. Dugan speaks as a wrestler.
Yes, once upon a time. But at any rate...
Do you wish you would have went head-to-head with Jimmy Jordan if he was in high school?
He'd have probably got me, but I'd sneak up on him at this point in time. But so what we were going to discuss off the bat here, Dr. Bob, is the Ohio nuclear issue that apparently the Ohio Supreme Court had tried to... on the side of those against nuclear energy, correct? Or at least those wanting to put it on the ballot. Would you like to explain the situation better than I just did?
People who wanted to put it on the ballot and let democracy prevail by letting voters decide if we wanted to bail out a corrupt nuclear industry, Federal Judge Sargas sent five questions.
Okay.
Five questions to the Ohio Supreme Court, and now Secretary of State LaRose is telling the Supreme Court of Ohio, don't answer the federal judge's questions.
Okay, so what are those questions again?
They all revolve around 90 days. Do you have a full 90 days per the Constitution to gather your signatures?
And how does fracking fit in this?
Well, the fracking industry was on the other side, oil and gas, versus decrepit, crumbling nuclear power.
Uh-huh, indeed. Is one of the keys, not only the fact
the
that...
The fracking oil and gas industry is, why are you buying essentially non-economically viable nuclear power? No one will insure it outside the U.S. government, no private insurer. The plants have deficiencies in them. One's built, again, on a fault near Cleveland, and the only thing that made them viable was getting $1 billion welfare check, a subsidy from the ratepayers of Ohio.
So that plant, like the city of Cleveland, often called the mistake on the lake, but that plant would be exactly that, a huge mistake. And again, we're to be expected to bail this out and did not even get enough time by law to put this on the ballot. Now, can you go over any of the five questions that they were blocking? Do you know what those specific questions are, Dr.
Bob? Now, all five of the questions have to do with the 90 days.
All of them, okay.
Can it be held up by the Secretary of State?
Gotcha.
Can it be held up by the Attorney General, which, Mr. Yost held it up for 38 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He made them redo it, and then he counted the days as it sat there, first on his desk, and then was redone and said, well, you've got 52 days instead of 90 days.
So if they were to honor... what the Supreme Court said, would it then be on the next ballot, like next fall, there's nothing in the spring.
Well, we don't know.
I don't know
what the Supreme Court of Ohio is going to say. We don't know how they're going to answer it. But what Secretary of State LaRose, Frank LaRose, is saying is don't answer the questions asked by the federal judge.
This almost mirrors the federal, the administration of you know, the T to the rump, telling people not to honor the subpoenas, right? Isn't that sort of the same tact?
It's very interesting that your approach would be, well, you know, it's before a federal judge. We're awaiting a ruling. He wants the Ohio Supreme Court to tell him how they interpret the Constitution, one of the questions, and how they interpret the bill, you know, HB 6.
Right.
So he's saying, you know, do you get 90 days or not?
Right.
Plain language.
But that's in the future, but I mean, would it make it on the ballot, or would they have to?
They were trying to get it on the ballot in the fall.
Right.
It looks like they probably don't have enough time because they didn't get a temporary restraining order to give them more time to get on the ballot in the March primary.
Okay.
Remember, in
All right.
Ohio.
March primary, yeah. I thought there was something in the spring.
Right.
Duh.
In presidential years, Ohio moves its primary up from May in a gubernatorial year
okay.
to March.
Timing.
Yeah, because in many cases, the election is usually over. When you left it in March, it would be over by March. We'd already know who the nominees were, the presumptive nominees of both major parties.
Okay. All
so right. Ohio, perhaps, you know, the key battleground state with a great testing market for who you really want to be president of the United States. It never really would come to Ohio. It was always over by May.
Instead,
the people of Iowa, one of our least representative states,
right.
overwhelmingly white.
Not a lot of color in Iowa.
Corn-fed. And then, right, the first primary is in New Hampshire, another totally unrepresentative white state that tends to lean conservative.
Sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. All right. And you don't think I guess there isn't going to be enough time then to gather the signatures to put that on the ballot.
Well, the deadline usually is 90 days before.
Right.
It's the second Tuesday following a Monday in March.
Okay.
So, you know, we're already here in late November.
Right, right.
So unless these questions are answered, you know.
Right,
very
exactly.
Soon. But here's what I'm thinking.
And
I would actually much rather have it on the ballot in the general election, which we should talk about because Michigan now has a Democratic governor primarily because of a ballot issue. The ballot issue being, of course, legalization of marijuana.
No.
That issue drew out a whole lot of people who
tended blue.
to vote more on the progressive side for the Dems rather than for the Republicans. So I hope it gets on the ballot because despite money coming from the oil and gas industry, most environmentalists, the last thing they want to do is to subsidize decrepit nuclear power
Absolutely.
And coal, you know, burning power plants.
Right. And at the last salon, if you folks happen to have been there at 1021 East Broad, second Saturday of every month, your partner in radicalism, yes, I said radicalism, Harvey Wasserman was also speaking on this issue. And one of the most amazing things that got me was that somehow the state said there were 800,000 signatures that were pro-nuke, right?
Yeah, well,
where does that come from?
Well, it comes from a non-certified
ballot. Done by Jordan there.
Right, it's a non-certified ballot question that was put out by the pro-nuke people, and you were allowed and encouraged to sign as many times as you wanted. And they were paying people $8 a signature. It was primarily designed to confuse people because a real ballot, they'll come up and say, you can't sign it if you've already signed it. So these people, right. You know, I already signed that. So it sounded very similar.
Of course it did.
It was confusing. A right. non-certified ballot designed exactly as you say,
right.
to confuse people.
Mm-hmm. Along with all the ads, both on TV and online, from the pro-nuke, the electric company, and the power behind that. Yeah, and the dirty coal. Our buddy Murray is in that.
Right, yeah, they spent millions of dollars on the TV ads showing the Communist Party of China making right, the bid yeah. for our power.
Yes,
group.
Right. Yeah, good old Communist Party of China there.
And they also did all of these mailing.
Yes. All right. Well, anyway,
there was an Asian American who was attacked outside the place. Yeah, too rough
right.
for me.
Jeez.
The Dublin Library.
Oh, I know. That's a tough neighborhood. Actually, it's a really nice ravine right behind that library. But anyway, no one should be attacked on any of these issues. And if anyone gets attacked, it should be the Secretary of State for pulling his games. But anyway, shouldn't we?
It was the same thing I said about the Cleveland Browns, but they wouldn't listen to me.
That people shouldn't hit other people with football helmets?
Well, it's similar.
Okay. Well, that's
just one of those common sense things.
Yeah, common sense.
And blockers,
get out of here.
Blockers were involved in both events.
Right. Well, common sense tells me we should remind people that this is WGRN at 94.1. It's WCRS at 92.7 and 98.3. And also online where you can, you know, type your way in. And anyway, so and find out what's going on. I'm trying to work my Jordan up if we're going to discuss the impeachment. The guy is something else as well. Yes, of course, Mr. Sondland today, who apparently Trump said he hardly knows, even though Sondland gave
even
him a million bucks.
Major donor.
Right. Got put in charge of the EU or as the rep to the EU. Yet he was messing around with the Ukraine. And today he's saying, yes, he did. It was all to please Trump. And you might say he threw old Rudy under the bus a number of times. So on we go.
The president's personal attorney.
Yes, indeed. And he reminded everyone of that.
The guy orchestrating the scheme on the ground there.
Sure enough.
Former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani.
And of course, everyone's going to wonder, will this stuff that's on television and online, et cetera, these constant hearings, if they're going to make a difference with the reps, the, you know, the repubs, the so-called conservatives and their voting. So.
Well, again, you put Jim Jordan, the attack dog, who,
there he is.
Who you look much like today.
Ankle pick. And knock the head, right? Isn't that what we're... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to say things like that. That's not nice.
But he was a wrestler.
He's a wrestler, yes.
Like yourself.
And he also protected...
I did the listeners know you were
yes,
a
I
high
was.
School wrestler?
Yeah, I was a high school wrestler.
I can only hope
I was
that,
little, too.
Jim Jordan would have been as aggressive in going after the child... the molester...
He'd have probably kicked Strauss. My butt, but right, he did not go after Strauss,
he
Mr.
Seems
tough
to be
guy.
Very aggressive.
Yeah.
With the House Intelligence Committee.
Sure.
Attacking the witnesses, and recall yesterday the
yeah,
big
Lieutenant
headlines
Colonel. Yeah.
Were not. They wouldn't even call him Lieutenant Colonel.
Yeah, I know. He was called yeah.
him Mister.
Yeah, Nunez called him. Yeah, Mister, and he was reminded it's a Lieutenant Colonel. But yes, the
and
way
then,
they're
then
attacking.
And then they question why he was wearing his. Dress
yeah.
uniform
right.
with the military.
Yeah.
Which
even though we love the military in this country.
Everyone that usually goes before Congress.
Salute.
Virtually every military man that I've ever seen wears his dress uniform. And then
pretty much, especially when you're testifying in official business.
And Jordan never did any time in the service.
Really? Tough guy like that? I would have thought
course,
he'd have been a Marine. I
we have
tell you.
The draft dodger, President Bone Spurs.
Bone Spurs, that's right, Mr. Bone Spurs. Mr. Bone Spurs, yes, of course, said. I see he's wearing his uniform. But, you know, what I really like about all this, too, is that Fox, the you know, Trump's network, which he seems to watch pretty much all day, I'm not sure, or at least a large part of the day.
And when he's not tweeting live
right.
during...
exactly.
the hearings attacking everyone.
Right. They told him to stop watching the Fox, to stop watching the hearings on Fox so he wouldn't tweet. So my brain hurts. So Fox would, of course, they're televising the hearings, they're telling Trump, hey, don't watch us. And everyone else, I guess, that supports Trump, ignore this. Great. Well, let's all ignore Fox. I'm for that.
A lot of these decisions really are being done on the emotive level, right? On the so-called wedge issues. Not on the facts, not on what people are actually saying.
Lord God Almighty. Yeah, that's where we're at. That's where we're at, the emotive level. So, in fact...
And sort of nostalgic. I mean, there's a lot of shocking stuff coming up.
There really is.
But I think if you're trained to believe everything is fake news, unless it's pro-Trump,
right.
you simply deny the reality of what we're hearing. And the tweets are, of course, a weapon of mass distraction.
Of
right?
course.
Here's the president out there tweeting, attacking people.
Sure enough, yes, of course he is. That's what he does.
He gets petty, he gets personal. Raised.
Of course, he's fat, bald, and lazy, and greedy, but what do I know?
It's been raised, right, that this, in many ways, is witness intimidation.
Yes, it is.
But
absolutely.
Sondland is a huge bombshell, right? When the president's guy essentially comes out and confesses to the conspiracy.
But see, Trump hardly knew Sondland. Even though he gave $1 million and he had a background in some sort of government governing, very little actually. But so he, again, all of this keeps piling up, but it all comes down to will any of the Republicans break ranks? Now, Sondland seems to have at least covered his own butt. He listened to his attorneys, probably.
Well, he was worried about committing perjury.
Absolutely.
Right? He went in originally and said that none of this happened, and then his memory was, quote, refreshed. Again, he went back, and now he's gone back again and has been very specific about who orchestrated this conspiracy, and
Indeed.
He points right to the top with Trump.
Right.
And Trump's personal attorney, Giuliani.
And he talks about Pompeo and his part in it. I think the only thing he really was objecting to is he said he wasn't yelling into his phone. But anyway, there's something to that effect.
We got Jim Jordan there yelling.
You want to look
talking
bad.
Talking really loud. I'm Jim Jordan.
Indeed.
And I'll be attacking the Lieutenant Colonel, who I won't call Lieutenant Colonel.
Yeah, and Nunez is really funny. And so is the attorney for the Republicans. They're really getting nowhere. But then again, that's if you actually watch and you're trying to keep an open mind. It looks like they're not doing very good, their team, the evil empire.
Well, all they got to do is hold enough Republican senators. So he'll be found, Mr. Trump will be found, not guilty
right.
on the impeachment charges.
So here's what I've been trying to figure out. There's got to be like a financial figure that Donald Trump would take to just walk away from the presidency. So you want to throw a figure out there? 50 million?
No,
250 million? 500 million? A billion?
Well, he's
maybe we can get some of these billionaires running for president.
He's making a lot of money by
give it to
being
him.
The president, right? As
of course he is.
People in foreign governments
right.
flock to book rooms at his luxury hotels.
Sure, absolutely, and he enjoys it. He enjoys being the center of it all. And I'm enjoying being on the other side of the news again. By the way, we should not forget to thank Constance. For doing the show last week.
Constance Goodell Newton,
your partner in lawyering.
And that's with a hyphen.
And I love the ad in the Free Press these days. You guys look tough, man. You look good and tough.
Ad for Fitrakis Goodell Newton.
And the show that she started comes full circle, and she got to do it last week herself, and we appreciate her doing that. At any rate, we have lots of time left, I think, or at least a few minutes. And yes, we would like to discuss the Bolivians, where in which you had a coca planter who was the president or prime minister?
The president of the union.
Right. At least he was the leader of the government, whatever. So Evo Morales.
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah.
For quite a while.
Prime minister. He ran the country.
Uh-huh. I was taking some classes at OSU and learning more about Latin America when he came in, and that must have been 2005 or 2006.
And he was forced out by the military in Bolivia.
It was not exactly a coup, or was it?
Well, no, it was a coup.
It was.
I mean, essentially, they told him
to
leave.
I guess
Venezuela, you've got now another official, a pro-U.S., right-wing, pro-Trump female, a senator in Bolivia, who says, I'm the president now. I mean,
right, but the difference is it didn't actually happen in Bolivia. I mean, it did happen in Bolivia. It didn't actually happen in Venezuela.
Well, in Venezuela, the U.S. backed a guy who had never run for the presidency.
Right. And a white European in a brown nation. Yes. So.
Maduro was duly elected,
mm-hmm.
As was Morales.
Right, absolutely.
So you're removing elected heads of state,
mm-hmm.
And you're allowing these, Trump is backing these people who are not duly elected, which makes you wonder, and people have raised this issue, what happens if he loses the election next year in 2020? He's not impeached. He wins the he loses the election. Will he leave?
Well, yeah, I know.
Or will he call upon the
Again, we come back military. To that financial price that I'm trying to get the billionaire candidates to pony up some money.
And virtually every
business, everybody has their price, Bob.
In America.
Everybody has their price.
But all of them, but he's making money. It's like the world's largest reality show.
Sure,
absolutely. That's going on.
Right.
And
course, that's how his campaign started in the first place, because he didn't feel he thought he should be the number one paid entertainer on the NBC network.
Well, I think he's the
And Gwen Stefani was out, she got more money than he did. But
well,
anyway,
he's the entertainer-in-chief right now, right? Basically, he's doing a reality show, not based in any real political reality,
mm-hmm.
But just kind of pandering to his base,
and
telling them the elections are fake, they're fraudulent. You know that he loses by 3 million popular votes. He said they were all illegal votes. There's no evidence of that, but he says these things, and his base just eats it up. They think he thinks just like me.
A base that would have no idea where Bolivia was, right?
No, but if Trump doesn't like Bolivia. Trump doesn't like Maduro in Venezuela.
Right.
They're going to back Trump.
But speaking of, while we're on the political discussion, he did lose a couple elections that he made about himself recently, Kentucky and Louisiana, right? So, again, does that show some sort of erosion of the voters out there?
Polls,
70%, if you believe polls, are saying... Yeah, they believe he did something wrong with the Ukrainians.
Well, I mean,
if you believe polls,
base is eroding again, and we've mentioned this before.
Yes,
but the polls show that college-educated, Republican, suburban women are deserting him in droves, which is understandable in many ways. Understandable in part because of his fame. Comment or infamous comment on tape about grabbing women's genitalia.
And that's just one thing he did
that
women find offensive. It goes on and on and on.
Famed Christian Coalition figure said, we're sticking with him because he's put all these far right-wing religious fanatic judges on the federal court. Really his lasting legacy. And they're very young, you're going after people in their 30s and 40s who will serve for life. So he's really altering the federal judges in the United States. He's putting in right-wing reactionary judges that are sympathetic to white nationalists. He's putting them on the federal court for life.
Yeah, and if they don't do what he says, he'll probably deny that he ever knew them.
Well, actually,
sure, that's coming.
His politics, historically, were liberal. We're socially liberal.
Yes.
He's just cut a deal with the devil. Okay, well, maybe not the devil. He's cut a deal with the far
right. Wait. How do you know it's not the devil?
Well, it could be the Antichrist, which I think our show should come out on the record.
And
with
say?
The question.
Yes.
Is Donald Trump
right.
the Antichrist?
Woohoo! Yes. We want to know. Do you agree? Of course. Come on. That's easy.
It's
of course he's the
Donald
Antichrist.
Trump or Jim Jordan. Jordan, like, we should shave.
Running with the devil.
Does not Jordan have the mark of the beast on him?
Mm-hmm, indeed. Well, I think he does. I'd like to mark him. But I'll tell you what, he'd probably whoop my butt. He's a little younger and a little in better shape. So I'd have to admit that. But at the same time, I know what I'd like to do.
He should have whipped Strauss's butt when he was molesting the athletes.
And
1,500 of them
right.
or so. Where was he then? Why wasn't he more aggressive? You've got two people saying,
right.
we told
and aggressive
Jim
he is.
Jordan, we told him that we were being molested.
Right.
And he didn't do anything.
And this, you know, having been reared around wrestlers, I'm thinking
reared being
he,
the
right,
operative word.
Absolutely. That he's probably thinking, well, they should have been, you know, tough enough to tell that guy to go away. But this, of course, is their coach and they're just kids. Anyway, these two old kids are having a great time on the other side of the news on WGRN, the Green Renaissance, and WCRS. At those aforementioned numbers.
94.1.
Yes.
92.7. 98.3.
We finally learned it, Bob. We're making progress. We are progressives. We love you all. Thanks a lot.
And mm-hmm. we're the other side of the news.
There you go. Peace.
Death and hatred to mankind. Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh!